Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Shri Yagpatir, Yagyapatik, Prajapatir, Dhyampatir, Lokapatir, Dharapatihi, Patir Gatishchandaka Vrishni Satvatam, Prasidatam me Bhagavan Satam Patihi, Shri Yagpatir, Yagyapatik, Prajapatir, Dhyampatir, Lokapatir, Dada patihi patir gatish chandaka vishni satvatam prasidatam me bhagavan satam patihi shriyaha.
All opulence
patihi, the owner. Yagya
of sacrifice.
Patihi, the director. Prajapatihi, the leader of all living entities. Diyam, of intelligence. Patihi, the master. Lokapatihi, the proprietor of all planets. Dara, earth. Patihi, the supreme. Patihi, head. Gatihi, destination. Cha, also. Andaka, one of the kings of the Yadu dynasty. Vishni, the first king of the Yadu dynasty. Satvatam, the Yadus. Prasidatam, be merciful. May, upon me. Bhagavan, Lord Sri Krishna. Satam, of all devotees. Patihi, the Lord. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. May Lord Sri Krishna, who is the worshipable Lord of all devotees, the protector and glory of all the kings like Andaka and Vrishni of the Yadu dynasty, the husband of all goddesses of fortune, the director of all sacrifices, and therefore of all living entities, the controller of all intelligence, the proprietor of all planets, spiritual and material, and the supreme incarnation on the earth, the supreme all in all, be merciful upon me. Purport. Since Sukadeva Goswami is one of the prominent Gata Vyalikas, who are freed from all misconceptions, he therefore expresses his own realized perception of Lord Sri Krishna as being the sum total of all perfection, the personality of Godhead. Can I have some water? I'm sorry. Yeah. Everyone is seeking the favor of the goddess of fortune, but people do not know that Lord Sri Krishna is the beloved husband of all goddesses of fortune. In the Brahma Samhita, it is said that the Lord, in his transcendental abode Goloka Vrindavan, is accustomed to herding the Sudabi cows and is served there by hundreds and thousands of goddesses of fortune. All these goddesses of fortune are manifestations of his transcendental pleasure potency, Kladini Shakti. In his internal energy.
Thank you.
And when the Lord manifested himself on this earth, he partially displayed the activities of his pleasure potency in his Rasalila, just to attract the conditioned souls who are all after the phantasmagoria pleasure potency in degraded sex enjoyment. The pure devotees of the Lord, like Shukadeva Goswami, who was completely detached from the abominable sex life of the material world, discussed this act of the Lord's pleasure potency not in relation to sex, but to relish a transcendental taste inconceivable to the mundaners who are after sex life. Sex life in the mundane world is the root cause of being conditioned by the shackles of illusion. And certainly Shukadeva Goswami was never interested in the sex life of the mundane world. Nor does the manifestation of the Lord's pleasure potency have any connection with such degraded things. Lord Chaitanya was a strict sannyasi, so much so that he did not allow any woman to come near him, not even to bow down and offer respects. He never even heard the prayers of the Devadasis offered in the temple of Jagannath, because a sannyasi is forbidden to hear songs sung by the fair sex. Yet even in the rigid position of a sannyasi, he recommended the mode of worship preferred by the gopis of Vrindavan as the topmost loving service possible to be rendered to the Lord. And Srimati Radharani is the principal head of all such goddesses of fortune, and therefore she is the pleasure counterpart of the Lord and is non-different from Krishna. This is just part of the purport. I think I'll just continue next class. We'll just discuss part of it and continue it over a few days. Sri Yukpatir. This is a very poetic verse. The Bhavatam is also poetry. Hare Krishna. It's stated that, one second. The same language can be used in different ways. In Sanskrit, we have the Vedas. Vedic language is somewhat different than classical Sanskrit, but it's basically the same language, just a different dialect. And in Sanskrit are also written the Puranas, and there's modern poetry written in Sanskrit, some of it just completely mundane. Each of these three classes of literature speak to us in a different way. The Vedas speak like a father. They give us stern advice, injunction. Svarga kamo agnishtomena yajet. If someone wants to go to heaven, he has to worship using the agnishtoma sacrifice. It's not the command of a master to his slave or a officer in the army to the soldier, that you either obey or you'll be, you know, tried for desertion and shot. No, not that kind of force, coercion, but very serious advice. If you want to be happy, if you want to be successful, you had better do such and such. Like a father giving stern, serious advice to the son. That is the mood or the voice in which the Vedas are speaking. The Puranas are more like a friend. They're not only telling you what you should do, but giving you reasons. Just like we read in the Puranas and the epics, stories of the Ramayana. We learn by example, not just by order, by command, that a man should be law-abiding, he should be faithful to his wife, and so on. No, We hear the story of Ram, and we get the idea from that friendly account, the friendly voice of the Puranas, that we should want to be like Ram and not like Ravana. That's the voice of the Puranas, speaking more like a friend. And then poetry speaks to us like a lover, a beloved speaks very intimately by speaking sweet words. She gets the husband, the wife gets the husband to do what she wants. Trivit Bhagavatam Punaha. But Srimad Bhagavatam speaks in all three ways. It speaks with the authority of Vedas, with the convincing evidence of the Puranas, historical evidence, and with all the sweetness of poetry. So Bhagavatam, Srimad Bhagavatam is also poetry. But the poetic elements of the Bhagavatam are especially obvious in some portions, some sections, like these prayers being offered by Shukadeva Goswami. They are very poetic. Here there's a particular poetic device, alankar, ornament. It's not actually a shabda alankar. It's not an ornament of meaning, but an ornament of the words themselves, the actual sound. This is called yamaka. Simply, it means that you very cleverly use the same word repeatedly in a verse, and the word has different meanings every time you use it. So here the word pati is being repeated over and over again in different senses. Prabhupada, in his translation, doesn't translate the word pati the same way each time. He gives a different meaning to pati. That's the actual proper use of the poetic device. You say what sounds like the same word, but you give it a different meaning. That's called yamaka in Sanskrit poetry. Very very expertly used here by Shukadev Goswami. Pati means master. But there's different kinds of masters. The relationship of a husband to the wife, the husband is called pati. The senapati is also a pati. But he doesn't have the same rasa with his soldiers that he has with his wife. A different variety of pati, of being the leader. And Krishna, because he's Akilara Samrita Murti, he's the embodiment of all rasas. He's all these, whatever kind of pati you can conceive of, he's all of them. And that's after we get the enjoyable taste of the sound of that repetition of pati, that's the idea that's being conveyed. The idea, because it's not just ornamental poetry, a jingle that sounds good, but there's a serious idea behind it. So this is what we call vyanjana, to be technical. This is the subtle suggestion where an alankar, an ornament, is subtly suggesting an idea, a vastu. This is vastu vyanjana by means of alankar. In other words, the repetition of the words is suggesting to us the idea, the philosophically significant idea, that Krishna is the leader in all kinds of relationships, not just in being the proprietor or the ruler, but also in various kinds of loving relationships. He's always, because he is the vishaya of all varieties of devotional service. In every rasa, Krishna is the vishaya and the devotee is the ashraya. Although sometimes it's mutual, sometimes Krishna also becomes the ashraya. But he's primarily the object of love, and the devotee is loving Krishna in all relationships, in all different kinds of rasas. And here various rasas are being depicted. The one that Prabhupada talks about in the first paragraph of the purport is commenting on the very first phrase, Shriyak Patihi. Krishna is the husband. Here we can translate pati as simply, in the most literal sense, husband. Of course, in other senses, it doesn't fit. Senapati doesn't mean husband of the army. So the word has other meanings, but the first meaning is husband. The husband of Shri. Shri here is Lakshmi. So Shriyakpati is not just a description, because it doesn't fit anyone but Narayan. It's actually an epithet or practically a name of Narayan. He's Shripati, Srinivas. Nobody else, of course, your parents can name you Srinivas, but you're not the original Srinivas. Not literally. You know, your parents can call you whatever they want, but it doesn't make you the husband of the goddess of fortune. Nor are all the girls named Lakshmi, the goddess of fortune. That's okay. That's just naming someone after the Lord, after being named after the deity, is auspicious. We're all Krishna Das. All the names we have are the names of Krishna and of his devotees. That is honoring Krishna and his devotees, to name the disciples, to name the child after them. But the original Shriyakpati is only one, Lord Narayana. And Prabhupada points out that in the purport, we're not just talking about Narayana. Sukadeva Goswami is very much a devotee not just of Narayana, but of Krishna. Sukadeva Goswami, his special attraction is to Krishna's Vraja Leela. Otherwise, why did he devote the biggest canto, 10th canto, just to Krishna's Leela in Vraja, in Mathura, and in Dwarka? 45 chapters of it to Vraja Leela. Not 45 exactly. 47, 40, 30. Anyway, about 40 chapters to Vraja Leela. That makes over 2,000 verses, about 2,500 verses of Vraja, Vrindavan Leela in the 10th canto. So, when Sukadeva Goswami talks about Shriyakpati, he's not thinking just of Narayan. He's thinking of Krishna. Not even just Krishna in Dwarka. He's the husband of Satyabhama, of Rukmini, and of 16,108 other goddesses of fortune. That's Krishna in Dwarka. He's very much also Shriyakpatihi. But Krishna in Vrindavan is the original Shriyakpati, Shripati. Because, at least we understand, and this is also the opinion of Sukadeva Goswami, Krishna is the original Narayan. Krishna in Dwarka is not the original. It's not the original position of Krishna. Originally, Krishna belongs to Vraja. And then he also reciprocates with other devotees by agreeing to go to Mathura and then to Dwarka. But his place where he prefers to be is Vrindavan. Vrindavanam parityajya parameka nagacchati. Krishna never steps a foot outside of Vrindavan. He has to expand himself into his Vasudeva form in order to go outside of Vrindavan. The original Krishna remains invisibly, eternally present in Vrindavan. As stated in the 12th canto, in glorification of Mathura Mandala, Mathura Mandala Yatra Nityam Sannahito Harihi. Mathura is a special place because that's where Lord Hari, Krishna, is always Sannihita, he's always situated. Sannihita can also be understood as meaning hidden. We don't see him there. Go there now. Unless you're very fortunate, you won't see Krishna performing his leelas. Very few people do. 5,000 years ago, he was manifest and everybody who was there saw him. Everybody, including the materialists and the enemies and the demons. Nowadays, almost nobody can see Krishna because his pastimes are going on invisibly, his aprakrita lila. Most of us cannot see that. But they're eternally going on. Krishna never, in his original form, never goes outside of Vrindavan. He expands, makes his partial expansion as Vasudev. And it is that Vasudev who goes to Mathura and later transfers himself and everyone else to Dwarka. Krishna in Dwarka is obviously the husband of the goddess of fortune, because the queens of Dwarka are the original goddesses of fortune. But the gopis of Vrindavan are the original queens. They are the actual original goddesses of fortune. They are the Adi Shaktis, the original internal pleasure potency of Krishna. And the queens of Dwarka and the Lakshmis of Vaikuntha are the expansions of Srimati Radharani and her expansions in Vraja. That's what we understand. And we can make a convincing argument that that is what Shukadeva Goswami understands. Other Vaishnavas and other Sampradayas may disagree. They may find objection to our idea that the gopis of Vrindavan are the original goddesses of fortune. But we will not back down. This is the opinion of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It is actually the opinion of Shukadev, actually the opinion of Srila Sridhar Swami and all of our acharyas in the Gaudiya line. Srinath Chakravarti wrote the earliest Gaudiya Vaishnava commentary on Srimad Bhagavatam. In the Mangalacharana to his Bhagavatam, which Prabhupada liked to quote, he outlines the opinions of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, on which we base our Gaudiya Vaishnava philosophy. Araja Bhagavan Vrajesha Tanayas Tad Dhamma Vrindavanam Ramya Kachir Upasana Vajavadu Vargena Ya Kalpita Srimad Bhagavatam Pramanam Amalam Prema Pumarto Mahan. And then there's some disagreement about the exact wording of the last line. But one version is, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhur, Matamidam Tatra Daro Nakparaha. These are the opinions, the personal belief of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The supreme truth, the Lord who should be worshipped, is the son of the king of Vraja. His personal abode is Vrindavan. That mode of worship, which is most favorable to him, which pleases him the most, is the kind of worship that is practiced by the young cowherd women of Vrindavan. Srimad Bhagavatam is the most perfect, spotless scriptural authority. And the highest goal of life is pure love for Krishna. So this is basically the philosophy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. These are his personal convictions. And we are all followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So the greatest worshippers of Krishna are the young gopis of Vrindavan. And they are the original pleasure potencies of Krishna. They are the original goddesses of fortune. So when Krishna is called Sri Akpatihi, Shukadeva Goswami is also bearing in mind that Krishna is the beloved consort of all the gopis. Brahma Samhita describes this. Chintamani prakara sadmasu kalpa viksha lakshaviteshu surabhira bipala yantam lakshmi sahasra shatasam brahma sevyamanam govindamari purusham tamaham bhajami. So in the beginning of his prayers, Brahma is depicting what Goloka is like. It's a place where the ground is made of Chintamani stone, mystic stone that can create anything that's desired. The ground is made out of not just gems, not just rubies, emeralds, and diamonds, but the mystic stone, like Midas's stone, which you can project your desire onto it, and it will create whatever you want. The houses are built of this Chintamani stone. And Krishna, what does he do there? He tends the cows. The place is swarming with Surabhi cows, transcendental cows, who also give milk in the form of the fulfillment of whatever desire you want. And then, third line says, Lakshmi Sahasra Shatasambrama. In great awe and reverence, he's being worshipped by hundreds and thousands of goddesses of fortune. So what kind of goddesses of fortune do we find in Vraja, Dham? Cowherd ladies. Not with forearms. Simple gwalas. These are the original goddesses of fortune. And so that's what we should understand when we hear Shukadev describe Krishna as the husband of the goddess of fortune. He's the beloved of all the gopis. Okay, so I'll stop there. And we'll continue with the rest of the purport describing the other phrases in the verse tomorrow. Okay, are there any questions or comments?
Poetry refers to what here?
Poetry?
Poetry, you said that. Vedas?
Oh, poetry. Some of the original Shastras can be considered poetry. The Ramayana is called the original, the Adi Kavya, the first actual poem is the Ramayana. But later on, in more recent centuries, it's become a specialization. There are poets who write poetry. Kavi Karnapur, in his textbook on poetics, Alankar Kostipa, he gives a definition, his definition of what poetry is. And he says, Kavi Nirmiti Kavyam. Poetry is what poets write. So there are professional poets who know how to use the language in such a way that it evokes rasa. What makes something a poetry? Not that it rhymes, not that it has various devices. You can make something rhyme and it still won't be poetry. It can be just, your laundry list expressed in iambic pentameter. It's not poetry. Something is not, and you can have something that doesn't rhyme, that's an ordinary prose, and still it's poetry. What makes poetry, the soul of poetry, is rasa. If you express the mood of transcendental reciprocation with Krishna, then your words are poetry. Yes, Prabhu?
What are the forms of the gopis in the temple?
This is the highest poetry. Yes. Comes out of the mouth of the gopi. The gopis are the original poets. Yeah. Yes, especially some of the gopis are authorities on music, on poetry. The 64 arts, they're the original experts. And poetry is one of those arts. Anyway, when you take language and you can use it so expertly that you can express transcendental feelings, then that is poetry. Without such, you have to use subtle suggestion, because you cannot just express prema by saying it in words. You can't just say bhava. That doesn't evoke bhava. You have to subtly evoke it, suggest it, by clever use of language. The transcendental emotions cannot be evoked. The reader will not feel them just because if you say them, you just say them in words. You have to have it come by subtle suggestion. Okay, rasa can only be expressed by hints, subtly. It cannot be expressed directly in words. So that's the job of poetry, to create subtle suggestions by the clever, expert use of language that makes us feel transcendental emotions. That's what poetry is. And Bhagavatam functions like that, even when it doesn't sound poetic, even the simple verses that seem very, cut and dry, they're full of rasa. May not be full of fancy, sophisticated, gimmicks, the poetic devices, but those devices are just the ornaments. We call alankar. Like this device of repeating a word, this special devices of poetry, tricks of the trade of poetry. They're the alankars, the ornaments. But a person who's very beautiful doesn't need to wear ornaments, doesn't have to wear jewelry. A person who's exceptionally beautiful is beautiful without jewelry even. So even the simple verses in the Bhagavatam, for those who can taste the rasa, are pure poetry. Because the rasa is there.
Now Jayadeva Goswami can be taken as the...
Yes. He's Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had some favorite poets. He always listened to their poetry. And not because, you know, he was a particular... He wasn't interested in mundane poetry for its own sake. He was interested in poetry because it reminded him of Krishna. And his favorite poets were Jayadev, Bil Mangala, Chandidas, Vidyapati. He listened to their poems all the time. Then we have poets coming in the line of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Beginning with Rupa Goswami. Sanatana Goswami also wrote great poetry. Rupa Goswami, Prabodhananda Saraswati, later on Krishnadas Kaviraj. Kavi Karnapur was also there in the time of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And after that, many great poets. Writing in Sanskrit, and then we also have a tradition of Bengali poetry. Many Padavali, Bengali songs written by great poets who are writing in the vernacular. So we have a lot of poets coming after Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in our line. Very strong tradition of poetry, but pure devotional poetry. Okay. Yes,
Prabhu?
Yes.
Vajendra
Nandana. Yeah.
So he is not different from the Krishna in the Bhagavad.
Of course.
Yes,
it's the same. Krishna who appeared on the earth 5,000 years ago is the original Gopal who is the Lord of Goloka. Golokanath appeared on the surface of the earth 5,000 years ago. Not an expansion, not part of him, but the original. That's a basic belief of ours. The original personality of Godhead manifested himself on the earth. He's the original.
And you said
the
expansion of Krishna
Mathura and Dwarka. Yes, in Mathura and Dwarka, that's particular expansion of the original. Different mood, that's all. It's the same person. All the expansions of Godhead are one person. But that person reveals fully his personality only in Vraja. When he steps out of Vraja, he has to hide part of himself. Just like you can be completely open with your friends and family. When you're dealing with strangers, you have to hide part of yourself. So when Krishna goes outside of Vrindavan, he's not in the same intimate company. He cannot freely express himself completely. So he hides part of himself. That's all. It's the same person. Okay? Yeah. Okay, so we can stop here. Thank you all. Glory to Srila Prabhupada. Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jaya.